From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs, started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo groundbreaks construction of Central General Hospital in Nusantara. WHO says GN1 COVID strain, a variant of interest, possess low risk. I'm Nuku Kusumawati, now with the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo on Wednesday laid the first stone for the construction of the Central General Hospital in Nusantara, the Indonesian new capital in Penajam Pasir Ris, Kalimantan. It is the fourth hospital in the city which construction has officially begun.
Dan hari ini kita groundbreaking lagi untuk rumah sakit umum pusat yang akan dibangun oleh pemerintah. Setelah ini sudah ngantri lagi tiga rumah sakit.
And today
swasta.
We are groundbreaking again for the Central General Hospital, which will be built by the government. Besides this, there are already three private hospitals. Hopefully, when everything is ready, none of our people will go to Malaysia, to Singapore, to Japan, and America for their health treatment. I hope that everything can be done in Indonesia, in the capital city of Nusantara.
Untuk kesehatannya, kita harapkan semuanya nanti bisa dilakukan di Indonesia, di ibu kota Nusantara khususnya.
President Joko Widodo explained that the Central General Hospital in Nusantara will concentrate on heart disease and stroke. Previously, Jokowi laid the first stone for the construction of Mayapada Nusantara Hospital on October 31, 2023, Abdi Waluyo Hospital on September 22, 2023, and Hermina Hospital on November 1, 2023. Indonesian Transportation Ministry spokesperson Adita Irawati talked about plans for the Light Rail Transit or LRT Bali project, which will be funded through a government assistance program from South Korea. However, Adita said at the Transportation Ministry office on Tuesday, this does not necessarily mean that South Korea will manage the LRT Bali, as the project has to go through a bidding process. Earlier, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said the initial construction of the Bali LRT is still being discussed. He highlighted crucial issues of Bali that needed to be addressed immediately. It is Indonesia's gateway to international tourism and its distressing traffic congestion. Budi Karya claimed that some countries have already agreed to work on the first phase of this LRT project. However, the project is planned to be combined with a private company. The Jakarta Provincial Government granted awards to individuals, community groups, institutions, or companies that contribute to the protection and preservation of the capital's environment. The awards were presented at the Regional Environmental Agency's Appreciation of Environmental Care Community EMPL 2023 event on Tuesday, December 20th. The agency head, Asep Kuswanto, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, he attributed it to the community's and stakeholders' efforts and desire to get involved in environmental management. He believed that more public awareness and drive would result from this acknowledgement. He also hoped that this could serve as a trigger for all companies across the capital to manage their environment, including the emission they produce. Let's move on to the international news, where the World Health Organization WHO on Tuesday classified the GN1 coronavirus strain as a variant of interest and said current evidence showed risk to public health from the strain was low. At least two experts told Reuters that while the strain can evade the immune system and transmit more easily than other currently circulating variants, it has not shown any signs of more severe disease. Andrew Pekos, a virologist at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, said, although there might be more cases with variant GN1, doesn't pose a greater risk. GN1 was previously classified a variant of interest as part of its parent lineage BA2.86, but WHO has now classified it as a separate variant of interest. WHO said current vaccine will continue to protect against severe disease and death from GN1 and other circulating variants of the COVID-19 virus. The World Bank's Board of Executive Directors approved $350 million in financing for the second Resilient Institutions for Sustainable Economy, RISE2, operation in Pakistan on Tuesday. RISE2 aims to strengthen fiscal management and promote competitiveness for sustained and inclusive economic growth in the country, whose economy is struggling to grow, with persistently high inflation and foreign reserves running low. Derek H.C. Chen, task team leader of the operation, said in a statement, based on the foundation laid through RISE2 and parallel support by other internal finance institutions, Pakistan has the opportunity to tackle long-standing structural distortions in its economy after the upcoming general election. The fourth joint peacekeeping exercise between Vietnam and India, FinPax 2023, concluded in Hanoi on Tuesday. Addressing the event, Deputy Chief of the General Staff of the Vietnam People's Army, VPA, Senior Lieutenant General Phung Si Tan, who is head of the exercise steering board, lauded the contingent of the two countries for their serious and active participations. According to Phung Si Tan, the results of the exercise shows the smooth, close and effective coordination of the two countries' militaries in practicing hypothetical situation close to the actual operations and tasks at United Nations peacekeeping missions. Meanwhile, Colonel Asim Gupta, head of the Indian Army delegation, said during the exercise the two sides' forces exchanged a lot of professional knowledge relating to the United Nations peacekeeping operations and strengthened friendly cooperation through participating in sports and cultural activities. The defense departments of Saudi Arabia and France have signed an executive plan for cooperation on capabilities, military industries and R&D, the Saudi defense minister said. Prince Khalid bin Salman oversaw the signing ceremony in Paris, where he is on an official visit. The Saudi defense minister said he reviewed strategic relations, defense cooperation and shared vision for regional security and stability with Sébastien Lecornu, French minister responsible for the armed forces. The Saudi minister said Wednesday that Saudi Arabia also discussed the latest regional and international development as well as other topics of common interest. Prince Khalid arrived in the French capital with a delegation and will meet several French officials during the trip. Listener, now let's move on to a commentary on defending the country and strengthening social solidarity for advanced Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's commentary is about defending the country and strengthening social solidarity for advanced Indonesia. In December, some national days have special meaning for Indonesia. Among them are Country Defending Day, celebrated every December 19, and National Social Solidarity Day, celebrated every December the 20th. This year's Country Defending Day theme is Staging Country Defending Attitude for an Advanced Indonesia. Meanwhile, National Social Solidarity Day has the theme Rising Together to Build the Nation. These two national commemorations have the spirit of building the nation for Indonesia's progress. In his address, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that this year's Country Defending Day is a momentum for Indonesian people to unite and contribute positively to the developed Indonesia they aspire to. The president also reminded the people that the challenges currently faced are not only dealing with physical threats, but also invisible ones. Pandemics, global conflicts, technological revolutions, and the climate change crisis have had impacts and risks to the country's resilience. President Joko Widodo also emphasized that every Indonesian must have the spirit of defending the country. The spirit is not only the responsibility of the security forces, but of all elements of society. What President Joko Widodo said is, of course, to remind the Indonesians to play a bigger role in creating prosperity for all the people of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The COVID-19 pandemic and post-pandemic era have proven that Indonesians have a strong country-defending spirit and great social solidarity. Every Indonesian, in their way, participates in defending the country by working cooperatively, rising together to restore the nation's economy. The good outcomes that have been achieved by the Indonesian nation must certainly continue to be improved. Moreover, currently, Indonesia is preparing for the general election. Taking part in maintaining peaceful elections is a manifestation of the spirit of defending the country. Meanwhile, the spirit of social solidarity is a basis for behavior to strengthen tolerance in responding to differences in choices. These spirits are the social capital of the Indonesian people to strengthen tolerance, togetherness, and equality. To strengthen tolerance, togetherness, and equality for the people's welfare and advance Indonesia. And that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with December 20, which commemorated as National Solidarity Day. On December 20, 1958, Indonesia Minister of Social Affairs Mulyadi Joyo Martono initiated National Solidarity Day. This date refers to December 20, 1949, when the Ministry of Social Affairs created the symbol for social work and the Social Code of Ethics to commemorate the historical event of uniting society to overcome post-war social problems in maintaining state sovereignty. Moving on to December 20, 1999, when Macau was returned to China. Macau was officially returned to China from Portugal on December 20, 1999. Previously, the Macau region had been controlled by Portugal for more than four centuries. With the transfer of sovereignty over the region to China, Macau became the special administrative region of Macau. For a period of 50 years from the sovereignty transfer, Macau retained its capitalist economy and some political autonomy, but foreign policy and defense remained under Chinese administration. The system is called the One Country, Two Systems policy. We end today in history with the International Day of Human Solidarity. December 20 is observed globally as International Human Solidarity Day. The United Nations established International Human Solidarity Day as a reminder to care for each other and be united. Such designation refers to December 20, 2002, when the United Nations General Assembly through Resolution 57265 established the World Solidarity Fund. In February 2003, the funds used for United Nations Development Program Trust Fund benefits. The aim is to eradicate poverty and promote human and social development in developing countries, especially among the poorest communities. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Senyum dianya padaku, manis, manis, manis. Ku belai rambutnya yang hitam. Sayang, sayang, sayang. Alangkah senang hatiku
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia highlights Indonesian government encourages golden visa dissemination and grant. The Indonesian government via the Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment encouraged the program of granting golden visa for global investors and talents. That was stated by the Ministry's Deputy for Maritime Resources Coordination, M. Firman Hidayat, in Golden Visa Dissemination and Pre-Launching in Jakarta on Monday. M. Firman Hidayat said Indonesia has a strong economic performance resulting from economic transformation in the last 10 years via nickel downstreaming programs that experience improving derivative exports for 10 times. Firman added transformation is not happening in mining only, but also in other sectors such as immigration, especially golden visa. Deputy Firman also said there is a positive correlation between economic complexity with the number of migrants. This complexity represents a nation's knowledge and contains two variables, namely diversification and availability of export products. Firman Hidayat further remarked that the Indonesian government invited global investors and talents to come to the country. The government provided a red carpet, in quotation, starting from the first gateway into Indonesia, namely immigration policy. Deputy Firman also expressed his expectation that more global talents would apply for a golden visa to reach Indonesia's vision to be a high-income country by 2045. Meanwhile, Director General for Immigration at Indonesian Law and Human Rights Ministry, Silmi Karim, during the Golden Visa dissemination and pre-launching said, the Golden Visa program, which will be officially launched in early 2024, is a concrete implementation of economic transformation reform. Golden Visa is a visa granted as a residence permit for 5 to 10 years in supporting the national economy. To stay in Indonesia for 5 years, an individual foreign investor who is about to build a company in Indonesia must invest around $2.5 million, or around 38 billion rupiah. While for a 10-year stay, the investment should be $5 million. And that was My Indonesia.
Lukiskan inginmu, ajakku ke sana.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Binangun Beach in Lasem, Central Java. It is one of the beach tourist attractions located in Rembang. The beach is precisely situated in Binangun Village, Lasem, Rembang District, Central Java Province, Indonesia. The beach, which is located right on the edge of Pantura Route, offers an exotic view with a panoramic background of the vast expanse of sea and boats leaning on the shore. The open sea and floating boats can also be seen from Bonang Hill or Jejeruk Hill, which adds to the beauty of the coastline. It is called Bonang Hill because it's not far from this site are traces of Sunan Bonang, one of the Wali Songo, nine legendary Islamic preachers who spread Islam on the island of Java. Besides, this hill is also often called Watu Layar. Binangun Beach is located on the western side of the mainland called Tanjung Bendo. Because it is close to the headland, the waves on the beach seem calmer. It's not surprising that many fishermen use this place as a parking area for their boats, especially the mini Persian type, to avoid direct hits from the Java Sea wave. Binangun Beach stretches wide just right on the edge of the main road, so it's not difficult for you to find it. From Lasem District, it takes only 6 kilometers to the east on the Pantura Road or Semarang-Surabaya National Road. Listener, Binangun Beach is the right choice to enjoy the blue sea and fresh morning air. If you visit in the afternoon, you can watch the sunset on the beautiful western horizon, which looks fabulously with dock boats. Another activity is that you can visit the fish market, where fresh caught fish is sold directly from first hand. You can bring home fresh fish or other seafood by buying it at the Binangun Fish Market Park, which is not far from the area. Around the beach, there are boat rentals that can be used to get around the beach with a boat fee of 20,000 to 30,000 rupiah or 1 to 2 US dollar. And for those who love fishing, by paying a fee of 75,000 rupiah, you can enjoy fishing all day. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Sendiri, ku coba renungi, ingin apa aku ini? Tak pernah mengerti sampai kini ku sadari, aku tetap tak peduli, hanya aku jalani hidup ini. Pahami semua orang pasti ingin dapat raih bahagia kalau hanya itu aku pun telah mengerti.
Kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti aku hanya bisa bermimpi. Ku hanya ingin hidup bahagia. Oh, aku hanya bisa bernyanyi. Aku tak tahu apa yang ku cari di muka bumi. Oh, oh, yeah.
Aku lihat layang-layang dapat terbang tinggi, namun sesekali goyah dan ia jatuh lagi. Apa mungkin kutemui kunci
kunci di hati yang kan ungkapkan segalanya. Suatu saat nanti
kadang-kadang ingin pergi.
Of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Bari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Bandung, which means in Bandung. So, stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Jangan Mengebut, which means don't speed. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Annie, Chris' friend in a vlog community, when they will leave for Mount Tangkuban Perahu. Annie asked Chris not to speed when riding motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah Gunung Tangkuban Perahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya. Which means, don't speed, okay? Nanti, nanti, which means later. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Mengebut, mengebut, which means speed. Jalanan, jalanan, which means road. Menuju, menuju, which means toward. Kawah, kawah, which means cave. Gunung Tangkuban Parahu, Gunung Tangkuban Parahu, which means Mount Tangkuban Parahu. Berkelok, berkelok, which means winding. Naik turun, which means up and down. Menanjak, menanjak, which means going up. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, nanti jangan mengebut ya, nanti jangan mengebut ya, which means don't speed, okay? In the sentence, there is the word jangan, jangan, which means don't. It states a prohibition. to prohibit someone to do something, the word jangan can be followed by the prohibited activity, such as mengebut. Mengebut, which means speed. Now let's listen to the other examples of using the word jangan to state a prohibition. Jangan membuang sampah sembarangan. Jangan membuang sampah sembarangan, which means don't litter. Jangan parkir di sini. Jangan parkir di sini, which means don't park here. Mount Tangkuban Parahu is one of the natural tourist attractions in Bandung Barat Regency and Subang Regency, West Java Province, Indonesia. The name Tangkuban Parahu comes from the Sundanese words, namely Tangkuban, which means face down, and Parahu, or boat. The word Tangkuban Parahu can be interpreted as an overturned boat. In a local legend, the boat supposedly belonged to a young man named Sangkuriang that was kicked until it capsized. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah gunung Tangkuban Parahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
untuk 1000 puisi takkan cukup. Ungkapkan rasa cintaku, jangan rindu. Takkan cukup ungkapkan sayangku padamu. Takkan cukup ungkapkan cintaku dan rindu. Takkan cukup ungkapkan sayangku padamu. Takkan cukup ungkapkan cintaku padamu. Takkan cukup ungkapkan sayangku.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Traditional Song of Music Corner, I would like to present a song from Makassar, South Sulawesi, Indonesia, entitled Ati Raja. The song was composed by Ho Eng Ji. The song is about gratitude and surrendering oneself to God. The lyrics mention that God is a place to ask and plead. Only God knows and grants what is best for humans. Well, listener, here is the song Ati Raja by Emilia Suratman. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia.